Without further ado, you do that just like Dev. That's what he always says, right? Thank you, Matthew. Okay, yeah, this is Regina, and I was very happy to let you play a song. In fact, I would have let you just continue as long as you'd wanted to. We've been working very hard here today. We did all of our spring yard work today. We mowed and fertilized and planted grass and raked grass and
fertilized,
and we worked hard, and we just picked up poop, lots of poop. Yeah, we just quit like 15 minutes ago, so I was ready to sit back in the recliner and listen to music, Matthew. But it's nice to be here, of course. We are here for Regina Dawn Akers, Holy Spirit Guides. And what that means is this is the time of week where we're looking at all of the messages that Holy Spirit gave to me to be helpful. We've been going through them for quite a while now in chronological order, and we're now up to December 2006. I just noticed I'm hungry too, but it'll wait till I get done teaching. But I think I worked up quite an appetite. So if you hear my stomach growl while I'm teaching, just ignore it. This is a link to the first message that we're going to be looking at. It's called Fear, Doubt, and the Plan of Atonement. What I'm going to do, of course, is start with a prayer. Teddy, I noticed that at least your name's in the room. I don't know if you are. But I wanted to tell you, I've been listening to the CD you sent me, and I really love it. The more I listen to it, of course, the more I love it. Okay, so why don't we go into a prayer? Donna, I'll never make it in this prayer. Donna says, now I can watch my guilt because I'm sitting here eating potato chips. I just said I was hungry, and she's sitting across. I think I can even smell them. I think I can smell them. Yeah. Okay. Let's go into prayer. Holy Spirit, I am grateful for your guidance. I am grateful for your teaching of who we are. I am grateful that we are learning truly, that we need not feel guilty. I watch, Holy Spirit, when my attention is mistaken and focuses on the ego for a time. I get caught up in some story and I forget to watch my mind. And then I notice, Holy Spirit, that I notice I've forgotten. And I simply move right back into the practice, just easily, without guilt, without judgment. I'm grateful that you have taught us to do this, because I know that the ego guides us to judge ourselves at every turn. And it's so nice, Holy Spirit, to look at even our lapses in remembering to practice and to look at them without any judgment at all and then just return to our practice. It is so gentle. You are so gentle, and you have taught us to be so gentle with ourselves. I'm really very grateful, and I'm excited right now to go and look at some of the teaching that you shared with me and to review these lessons, because I know that they never date themselves. They never stop being helpful. Everything you've ever taught is useful at some time. I'm grateful for all of it. Amen. Okay. So, I don't think anybody else has popped to the room. The last name I had seen was Teddy. It's still the last name that I see. So we'll just look at the message that I gave you the link for. It's called Fear, Doubt, and the Plan of Atonement. And here's the question I asked that day. Oh, I want to judge my brother for the way he understands and practices A Course in Miracles. Has anybody else ever felt that way? I want to judge my brother for the way he understands and practices A Course in Miracles. What is it that I need to see and release? All right, here's the Holy Spirit's answer. You fear that your brother is in denial. This is what you need to see. You fear. When you look at your brother, you fear he must be wrong or you must be wrong because your perception and practice seems different. You fear. You know, I think that's an interesting point. I'm guessing, I could be wrong, but I'm guessing, and I'm willing to absolutely be wrong on this, but I'm guessing that most of us at one time or another have felt that temptation or that desire to judge someone for understanding the Course or practicing it differently than we do. Sometimes, in fact, I've observed that our judgments can get quite aggressive. We have our own little wars right here in Pal Talk or on the Peace of God from time to time. And Holy Spirit is telling us that what we need to see when we feel this way, what we need to see is that we are in fear. We are in fear. If we were not in fear, we would not be tempted to judge someone else's practice, to defend ours. Now, what I said on this day in December 2006 is I said, help me more, please. And I don't remember this situation, so I don't specifically remember the particular brother that I wanted to judge. But maybe it's one person that's popping into my mind, because there is a person that's popping into my mind, so maybe it's that person. I don't know for sure. But I do remember being afraid. I do actually remember being afraid of how that person practiced the Course. It actually did scare me. It's funny because you could argue that his practice was no different than mine. Because I do teach that the world is not real. And that was his primary practice, was the world is not real. Whenever anything came up in his mind, his answer was the world is not real, and he would quickly dismiss it. But it scared me because my fear said that my brother was lying to himself, that he didn't have an honest experience of the world is not real, and that he was using it to deny, using it to look away. And it scared me. Now, again, I don't know if we're talking about this particular brother or not, and maybe we'll find out as we move forward, but as I remember it now, as I looked at this fear, it seems like it scared me. Because it seemed to bring up the idea that we could fool ourselves. That we could fool ourselves. And that idea frightened me. So let's read a little more about this particular circumstance. So I asked Holy Spirit to help me more, please. And the answer was, you fear. This is what you need to see. When you look at your brother and you are tempted to judge, you are hiding from your fear. You are avoiding looking at it. So again, he's telling us, as we want to judge each other's practices or each other's understanding of the Course, what we're really doing is we are avoiding looking at our own fear that maybe we are wrong. Or maybe like the fear that I had, the fear that we might be fooling ourselves. Holy Spirit continues, when you look at your brother and see your temptation to judge, realize that you want to judge because you fear. Then say to yourself, I do not really want to judge. I want to turn my eyes from my brother and look at me. I want to see my fear. I want to look at this fear with the Holy Spirit and let it go. Then I will be used to help my brother if that is how it is to be. And if that is not how it is to be, I will be able to smile at the idea that I ever thought help was needed. This reminds me of the messages that we looked at last Sunday night. We looked at messages where our practice as teachers or as counselors or as coaches or as mentors. We looked at messages where our practice was always to focus on ourself. And that as we focus on ourself and our inner guidance, then we are used to be helpful as it is appropriate. So Holy Spirit is reminding me here that my desire to judge my brother's practice is just a projection away so that I can avoid looking at my fear, because probably the fear really scares me. It's better to judge my brother than to look at my own fear that maybe the truth is not true. Maybe we're fooling ourselves. Or maybe I'm wrong about my practice. So instead of looking at these fears, I'd much rather judge my brother. But of course, when I say, instead of looking at these fears, I'd much rather judge my brother, the I in that sentence is ego. The I that would much rather judge my brother than look at my fear is ego. Which means it's not my true self. That means it's not my real desire. That's why Holy Spirit is asking me to say, I do not really want to judge. He's asking me to remind myself of who I am, not to identify with the ego, the one who wants to judge and avoid the fear. Not to identify with the ego. Instead, remind myself of who I am and what I want. What I want is to awaken. And if I want to awaken, then that means I do not want to avoid my fears, because I will never awaken that way. So Holy Spirit asks me to say, I do not really want to judge. I want to turn my eyes from my brother and look at me. I want to see my fear. I want to look at this fear with the Holy Spirit and let it go. So this is disidentifying with the ego. Instead of believing that what the ego wants is what I want, I'm realizing that is not true. Now, question. I guess I thought all of you guys knew what this would be talking about, knew the brother. I have no idea what the circumstance was at the time, but I'm laughing at my next question. I said, I feel tempted to judge this writing based on what others will say. So who knows, maybe something was going on in the peace of God, and I thought all you guys would know exactly who I was talking about. I don't know. I really have no memory of this. But it doesn't matter, because it's helpful even if I don't. I feel tempted to judge this writing based on what others will say. Because back then, every single time I spoke to Spirit, every single time I asked for help, I posted the messages on the peace of God. I shared them publicly. It didn't matter what my error was. It didn't matter how Holy Spirit was correcting me. I always shared it. And this time, I'm experiencing that fear. That fear of what you guys will think of me for being tempted to judge, for fearing, for not being holier than thou. I'm afraid of what you're going to think. So Holy Spirit says, this is the same fear. You fear you are wrong when you listen to me, but you are not wrong when you listen to me. You are wrong when you do not listen to me. You are wrong when you listen to voices other than me. Your brother is not separate from you. He is the same as you. Is it strange, then, that I may choose to help him through you if you make yourself available for that help? First, you must make yourself available. This is why I ask you to focus on yourself. Then, all help that is given must come from me. This is why I ask you to follow and not think for yourself. Everything is perfect within the plan of atonement because I see perfectly. Trust in me, and you trust perfectly as I am. Okay, I'm watching what Matthew is writing. He says, I feel like I am experiencing what you're talking about, but from the other point of view, like a brother is judging my practice of the Course. I know this is my project, but that's how I have been feeling. Of course, my projection. There, that makes more sense. I know this is my projection, but that's how I've been feeling. And of course, Matthew, I don't know what you're talking about, but I can imagine how you're feeling because I felt that way too, like others were judging me. And I would say that what's most important for us is to look at why it would bother us what others may think of our practice. And probably what we're going to find is, again, there's some fear. Maybe it's even the same fear, that fear that somehow we're wrong, we're not completely right, we are mistaken. I love what Holy Spirit said in this particular message. He says, you know, you're not wrong when you listen to me. You're wrong when you don't listen to me. And it seems that that really is our only responsibility. A Course in Miracles says the miracle worker's only responsibility is to accept the atonement for himself. Accepting the atonement means accepting the correction. And the correction comes from the Holy Spirit within. So we want to notice when our eyes are focused outward, whether we are judging a brother or whether we fear a brother is judging us, it's literally all the same. Those are distractions. And we want to go within. And we want to ask Holy Spirit, not what should my brother do, what should I do? Where's the error in my mind? What do I need to see? What practice is helpful to me? If we can all stay focused on ourself instead of our brothers, and we all stay focused within and asking Holy Spirit to guide us, this is going to move along quite well. We get distracted when we focus on our brothers. We get distracted when we start watching their practice or their understanding of the Course and we start judging or debating with them. We get distracted when we're worried about what others think of us. We are doing well when we're focused on ourselves. Asking within, asking Spirit, what is in my best interest now? What do I need to see? What do I need to let go? How shall I practice? Okay, so that's the end of that particular message. What I will do is let go of the mic and see if anybody would like to share before we go on and look at the next message. Okay, I want to read what Teddy just wrote. How about the Course means exactly what it says, and any attempt to interpret is forgetting to ask within, what does this mean for me? That's beautiful, Teddy. Yeah, again, if we all stayed focused on ourself, there never would be any debates, would there? If we all stayed focused on ourself, there wouldn't be any debates. We'd all just be focusing on ourself and following Holy Spirit's guidance. It would be impossible debate under those circumstances. Yeah, it's a self-study course, exactly. All right, so if you were with me on the last message, if you just scroll to the top, you'll see where it says learning to hear guidance, and it kind of points to the right. You can click on that, and that will take you to the next message, which is called learning to hear guidance. I know a few of you have just entered the room, so I am giving you a link. And Matthew just called me dear. I love that. I need the link, dear. I really do love that. There you go, dear. There's the link. Okay, so let's see what this says. Learning to hear guidance. Okay, it looks like an open-ended question that day. I just said, Holy Spirit, what would you share with me today? And here's the answer. Continue to focus on surrender. This step is much more important than you realize. For only through surrender can you know the wholeness of all you are. You and I are tricky words because they seem to identify something. Something is always in comparison to something else, which implies duality. A part of surrendering is recognizing that you and I are synonymous. Any thought that would object to this idea is an idea of falseness within the mind. It is falseness we are letting go of. The mind will tell you that letting go of falseness is a difficult an arduous process. This is not true. All it takes is a little willingness applied consistently in every situation. With practice and experience, the mind learns that surrender is not difficult. Surrender is then seen as easier and more desirable. I think probably many of us have experienced this. It seems that in my particular life, my path, my experience, I go through periods where I am surrendered, and it's very easy. I mean, I'm in the flow. That's what we call it. I'm in the flow, and everything is easy. But so far, I've never remained surrendered. It seems like I also go through periods where somehow I get knocked out of surrender. It kind of reminds me of when I used to work out before I was on the spiritual path. I would be like working out, and I'd be on a roll, and then there'd be a business trip or a vacation or something, and I would get out of it, and it would be so hard to get back on that roll again. It seems like I experience the same thing with surrender. That when I'm doing it, it is so easy. I'm on a roll in the flow. But if something happens and I see myself as the doer again, I see myself as the thinker again, I forget to surrender, I start making decisions, I get out of it, it seems like it is difficult to get back in again. But I do know from my experience that when I am surrendered, when I am in the flow, it is easier and it is more desirable. So Holy Spirit says, seek out opportunities to surrender. Do not have expectations of yourself beyond the thought that you will take advantage of the opportunity to give over to self and learn that self answers easily. Each time you notice self answering easily, be grateful for the ease and clarity in the answer. In this way, trust increases. As trust increases, so does willingness. So if we're not currently in that surrender flow, and we want to get back into that flow, or maybe we even want to get into that flow for the first time, Holy Spirit is telling us how we can do it. The truth is, what Holy Spirit is saying is that we will get back into the flow by experiencing the wonder of surrender. So what we need to do is take that first step, just like you need to go to the gym that first day. You know, if working out is the role you're trying to get back on. You have to take that first step. We have to seek out an opportunity to surrender. For me, it seems like if I do get out of the flow and I need to get back into the flow of surrender, it seems like I start by using what I would call my morning quiet time. I remember to get back into the flow starting there, asking Spirit, what should I do? You know, is there something I should read? If so, let Spirit decide what should I read. Let Spirit guide every moment of that morning quiet time. And it seems like if I get back into that flow, I do start learning exactly what Spirit is saying that we will learn here. I learn that when I ask, what am I to do? What am I to read? Whatever. I do get a quick answer. And the fun part is, and I know probably many of you, if not all of you, have experienced this. The fun part is, if we do that, we may be guided, for example, from book to book to book. Like, you know, we might be guided to pick up A Course in Miracles and open it randomly. And then we may suddenly feel to close it and open NTI and open it randomly. And then we may feel to close it and open another book. And they will just continue as if they're all one book, right? And they are talking about exactly what was most helpful for us to learn today. And we know we couldn't have done that. We know we couldn't have done that. So we learn very quickly from even that little first step how quickly Spirit answers and how wonderful the experience of surrender is. Spirit says, seek out opportunities to surrender. Do not have expectations of yourself beyond the thought that you will take advantage of the opportunity to give over to self and learn that self answers easily. Each time you notice self answering easily, be grateful for the ease and clarity in the answer. In this way, trust increases. As trust increases, so does willingness. If a time arises that you seek guidance from self, but you cannot hear or feel guidance, know that it is because fear is blocking the signal of guidance. Do not strain to hear guidance now, as strain pushes against fear, causing fear to fight harder. This results in a downward spiral that is not helpful to building trust. Okay, so we all have probably experienced this as well. When we ask for an answer, we ask for guidance, and we just don't seem to get anything. Spirit says that's because we're afraid in the moment. We're afraid. And so this is not a time to continue pushing for guidance. In fact, Spirit continues, when you cannot feel guidance, let that moment go. Listen to this. Say to yourself, I cannot feel guidance now, but guidance is not absent. I trust it will reveal itself as I let go of fear. Do you hear that? You know, I'm wondering how many of us try this, or how many of us just get more and more fearful because we can't hear the guidance. You know, we're pushing against it. Notice this absolute trust. I can't feel it now, and I know why. It's not because Spirit's not helping me. It's just because I have too much fear. And I realize that as I let go of this fear, I will know the guidance. For me, that's like a memory of who we are. The only thing that could block guidance would be our own fear, right? So we're just peacefully acknowledging that. When you cannot feel guidance, let that moment go. Say to yourself, I cannot feel guidance now, but guidance is not absent. I trust that it will reveal itself as I let go of fear. Then do your best to let go of fear. Do not worry about reaching guidance. That is not the goal now. Letting go of fear is the goal. As the fear is let go, the guidance will arise. Hold to this thought in trust and let go of the fear. You know, I think a lot of times we're totally caught up in fear, and we allow ourselves to become more fearful because we can't hear guidance. I love the way this teaching says, guidance is not the goal now. Letting go of fear is the goal. It's time to forget about guidance, and it's time to focus on letting go of fear. Many of us do that with the practice of rest, accept, and trust. Many of us do that with the practice of journaling. Some of us may do that with the practice of self-inquiry. Probably all of us have some practice that we have learned that is helpful to letting go of fear. So that guidance has already been given. We just need to remember the practice and practice it. I had a friend write to me this morning who was very afraid, very caught up in fear, actually. And he said, I can't hear guidance now. And actually, that was scaring him. It was scaring him. I can't hear guidance. I can't hear guidance. And you could just see how afraid he was. And I wrote back and I said, you don't need guidance now. All you need to know is to rest. That's all the guidance you need. That's what Spirit is saying. Guidance isn't the goal when you're in fear. And if you keep guidance as the goal, it's going to increase your fear because you can't hear it. So the goal changes. The goal is to let go of the fear. And then when the fear is gone, the guidance will be known. So again, when you cannot feel guidance, let that moment go. Say to yourself, I cannot feel guidance now, but guidance is not absent. I trust that it will reveal itself as I let go of fear. Then do your best to let go of fear. Do not worry about reaching guidance. That is not the goal now. Letting go of fear is the goal. As the fear is let go, the guidance will arise. Hold to this thought and trust, and let go of the fear. Next paragraph. When there seems to be no fear and no guidance, it may be because you are asking the wrong question. That's interesting, huh? Maybe we aren't fearful, and we're asking for guidance, and we can't hear any. But maybe it's because we're asking the wrong question. It reminds me of the movie Peaceful Warrior, when the teacher called Socrates told Dan Millman, you need to learn to ask better questions. When there seems to be no fear and no guidance, it may be because you are asking the wrong question. This often occurs when you believe the answer must look a certain way. In this case, let go of the question. Ask only, what guidance would you provide for me now? When your mind is clear of all expectations and desired outcomes, guidance can shine clearly to show you the way you are to go now. So an example of a poorly worded question might be, Holy Spirit, how can I get some money? Right? Holy Spirit, how can I get some money? Because there we think we know what the problem is and we think we know what the answer is. Holy Spirit, how can I get my brother to understand blank, blank, blank? That's actually a desire to control the way my brother perceives. You know, another bad question might be, Holy Spirit. Oh, I can't think of another bad one right now. If you guys have some bad ones, throw them out there. I'll read them. But as you know, let's see what Donna has written here. Donna says, asking for specifics for me is asking the wrong question. Yeah, asking for specifics for all of us can be the wrong question. Okay, Guy Within has written, should I do so-and-so? Actually, we often limit the answer through our questioning. I notice Teddy has his hand up, so I am going to let go of the mic.
Hi, you know, can you guys hear me, by the way? I never know. Yes? So there was something I want to say, Regina, about that. And, like, this was really sort of big for me. So the truth is, there's this thing about fear and guilt and guidance. And actually, fear and guilt being an effect is why you have to deal with your own. Yet the idea of joining with the Holy Spirit to get the guidance eliminates the fear and guilt, because once you're joined with something, the conditions, the effects of fear and guilt are gone, because they are an effect of being alone. So there's a point in this where, in a sense, fear and guilt become motivators to remember to ask for guidance. Like the forgetting, which effectively causes fear and guilt, becomes a motivation to ask for guidance. But guidance isn't necessarily because of fear and guilt. Guidance and the idea of using the Holy Spirit is the retraining of our mind to use our mind and our heart the way God created it to be used. In a sense, I was told at one point in time to do this meditation, to teach it in a way in which it's like your mind is really like a flower that opens in the light. And we've been habituated to turning to the darkness where the effect is fear and guilt. But the turning to guidance is actually to retrain our mind to be in the light, not necessarily to eliminate fear and guilt. That's just an effect. So when we're not fearful and guilty, the guidance is available more readily, actually, when we've trained our mind and our purpose is for a true purpose, so that we can remember what our creation actually is about and to know of ourselves as whole and perfect. So the idea that, you're in a sense, if you're not experiencing fear and guilt, you don't need guidance, isn't necessarily true, because guidance is merely the alignment with the light of your mind or the Holy Spirit. And the elimination of fear and guilt is the effect. Finally, there's a point where there is no longer fear and guilt, and you're readily available for the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's readily available to you. You know, and you can maintain, and it's not like maintenance of right-mindedness. It's that you're freed from a past habit of not being right-minded and being habituated to the darkness. And you're in a new presence of understanding that that's the way, you know, you operate naturally. And the natural operation, the natural design of your mind has been recognized as totally valuable. And the unnatural simply is seen as unnatural. You see it for what it is, and you're passing it by just naturally because it's no longer useful or helpful. So, you know, to remember that fear and guilt are merely effects, and you can use the effects to remember to ask for help and get the guidance, and the guidance will straighten your perception out and eliminate the dark perceptions that keep you attuned and in accord with the light, is actually the goal of the mind training, not merely just the elimination of fear and guilt. That's like a byproduct. That's like icing on the cake, in a sense.
Thank you, Teddy. It's nice to hear your voice. It's been a while since I heard your voice. I see you typing all the time, but I'm not always around when you're speaking. Okay, so I'm going to go back to the message. And again, Holy Spirit says, when there seems to be no fear and no guidance, it may be because you are asking the wrong question. This often occurs when you believe the answer must look a certain way. In this case, let go of the question. Ask only, what guidance would you provide for me now? When your mind is clear of all expectations and desired outcomes, guidance can shine clearly to show you the way you are to go now. Guidance does come one step at a time. Let it reveal itself. Do not ask that it reveal more than it chooses to. To trust guidance as it is given is to trust yourself. To trust yourself is to walk steadily on the pathway home. And that reminds me of a comment that I saw Matthew write, where he referred to the guidance, the answer, must be on God's timetable and not ours, right? You know, and sometimes we may want more guidance than it's time to receive. You know, like I remember when I received the guidance to come to Pueblo. The most common question that I got from people is, why are you going to Pueblo? And Spirit hadn't revealed that. You know, Spirit hadn't revealed that. It wasn't time to know that. So, you know, we want to be happy with the guidance that comes. That's all the guidance we need in the moment. We want to trust that's all the guidance that we need in the moment. And then any other guidance that is to come will come at exactly the right time. Exactly the right time. So that's this little message on guidance. And again, it was given to me to help me step into surrender. To help me step into surrender. What I will do is just let go of the mic one more time to see if anybody has anything they want to share before we go to the next message. All right, Miss B, I'm handing the mic to you.
Hi, you guys. I don't know. I just came in the room and I just caught a bit of this, but I have a question because I'm just going through a really dark time right now with thoughts. Just really, you know. And I'm going, Holy Spirit, you know. And this is what I'm. The question is. When I'm having these times where I'm recognizing that, you know, I'm buying into these dark thoughts that I'm having, is it wrong to take that to the person that it's involved with and go to them and say, I'm having a hard time right now, I'm going through a lot of dark thoughts about this situation, please forgive me or whatever, just, you know, to open up that door for for conversation, because I believe it's a cry for healing. But maybe it's wrong to even bring those thoughts up and out to the individual. Is it putting power and belief into them then? You know what I mean? I'm just really mixed up right now. So I sure would appreciate some advice on that. Thanks, you guys.
I can speak from my experience, and if anybody else wants to speak as well, I will give the mic to them. But of course, you know, we know it's not wrong. We know that there's nothing that we do that's wrong. Everything that we do, we continue to be innocent. So in that way, no choice that you make could be wrong. However, you know, maybe the question is it in the best interest of healing? Is it in the best interest of gaining clarity? Or would a step like that possibly continue the conflict, continue the confusion longer? Right? That's probably what you're asking. My practice as a rule was always to deal with things within. And the way that I dealt with things within was to go directly to spirit through a journaling process, through a writing process. One thing I might do is, if I had a lot of thoughts that were very, very loud in my mind, is I might just write out all the thoughts. Just write them out. And then when I felt like I'd write them all out, I might ask Spirit, what do you want to say to me about these thoughts? And I would open the door for Spirit to be helpful to me. That always seemed to work for me. I always seemed to get clarity on why I was in fear, clarity on why I was confused. And often I never needed to talk to someone else. But there was a time when I listened to a couple of friends of mine who seemed to think that it would be best when, if I had a conflict with one of them, if I talked to them about it instead of this more private working it out with Holy Spirit. And I listened to them, and I tried that a couple of times. And in my experience, what I found is that didn't work. Even though they were core students, when I took my thoughts directly to them while the thoughts were still very unhealed, I met with defensiveness and the situation got worse. So what that seemed to reinforce for me is that it was better for me to always go to spirit, to get clarity and to get to relative peace before I involved anyone else. So that remains my practice. Now, I notice that you have written, write out all of my thoughts, sorry. Write out all of my thoughts, then ask Holy Spirit what needs to be revealed to me. Yeah, that's what I would do. And I notice Donna is writing, I find it most helpful to work it out with Spirit in my own mind. At some point, it often just unfolds that I talk with them and we are both in clarity. Yeah, it seems much better to get the clarity, at least from my experience, much better to get the clarity before I speak to anyone. I've done very little of the other because my natural practice was to go to spirit first. But in the couple of times that I tried going to my brothers without clarity, it just seemed to escalate, and it really just wasn't helpful at all. I then seemed to drag other people into it, which wasn't necessary. So I've gone back to my practice, and it feels very good that way. I'll let go of the mic and see if anybody else wants to say anything. I see Miss B saying she will try this. But just does anybody else have anything they want to add to that? Because it seems like the question was to everyone, not just me. Okay, yeah, Teddy has written, the sooner you can stop projecting either outward or inwardly, the sooner the ability to be still and listen will return. Absolutely, Teddy. All right, so why don't we go to our next message. Again, if you're still in the last link I provided, you can just go to the top and click on Choices Are Based on Desire, which goes to the right. That is our next message. If you've not been in link with us and you want to join us, I'm now providing a link to our next message. You can click on that. Again, the name of the message is Choices Are Based on Desire. And it looks like on this morning I didn't even ask a question. Occasionally, in fact, it became more and more common. I would have experiences where I would hear Spirit tell me to grab my notebook, and then Spirit would begin speaking without me even asking a question. And it looks like that's what happened on this particular morning, because all I wrote is a message from Holy Spirit given to me this morning. So apparently I was told to grab my notebook. So let's see what Spirit says. It's just a decision. It's just a choice. There comes a time when you see it is nothing more difficult than this. Upon seeing this, you want to be sure you make the decision continually. There is still a decision within the mind that is the opposite of the decision you are making now. But you undo the previous decision by consistently choosing again now. In doing this, your will to choose again grows stronger, so that your choices become more solid. As your choices become more solid, they form the foundation for what you see, so that the choice does not seem to need to be made as often, because the choices you have made are giving you the world that you would see. At this stage, right choosing seems automatic. So before I continue, it looks like, again, Spirit has wanted to talk to me about making right-minded choices. So the choice to let go of projection, as Teddy has said, instead of following projection, instead of continuing to think those thoughts about my brother. It would be an example. And I think we all make right-minded decisions sometimes. You know, like maybe in one situation we decide to let go of the projection, but then another situation we may decide to hold on to it. You know, we may decide to walk around and hate this person or have a grievance against this person, even though we're forgiving other people. Well, Spirit is asking us to continue to make that decision continually. And it looks like it's a conscious decision, something that we're doing on purpose, something that we're focused on. Some of us might even call it a work that we have chosen, a work to notice when our mind habitually wants to get us to listen to a story about our brother, or, you know, habitually wants us to judge something. And maybe we have chosen the work of noticing when the mind wants to get into this habitual pattern, and we are willing to choose again. I know one practice that I practiced for a very long time is I would see a thought, for example, telling me to judge my brother. And I would say, I see that thought. I see it. And it seems like when I would say that, I see that thought, that it would kind of hold it there in time. The thought would kind of linger for a minute, you know, the thought to judge my brother for saying that, for example. I could say, I see that thought. And then I could choose not to judge my brother. And this was a work. This was a practice. It took attention. It took effort. If I wanted to do it well, I couldn't forget about it. It needed to be my full-time job. And sometimes it seemed to take true effort, like there was a big hump within me that I had to jump over in order to not judge my brother, because the temptation to judge might be very strong, or the desire to judge might be very strong. But as I'm sure many of us have learned, is if we do this work consistently, if we make the decision continually, something in the mind changes. Pretty soon the mind is not judging with the regularity that it once did. It's naturally more accepting. It's naturally more loving. It's naturally more joyful. Now, of course, then some thoughts still do come up and the work has to be reapplied. But it doesn't seem like the work is a 24-hour job anymore, because the mind has changed. It's not as habitually ego as it used to be. It is naturally more right-minded. I'm going to read this first paragraph again. It's just a decision. It's just a choice. There comes a time when you see it is nothing more difficult than this. Upon seeing this, you want to be sure to make the decision continually. There is still a decision within the mind that is the opposite of the decision you are making now, but you undo the previous decision by consistently choosing again now. In doing this, your will to choose again grows stronger, so that your choices become more solid. As your choices become more solid, they form the foundation for what you see, so that the choice does not seem to need to be made as often, because the choices you have made are giving you the world that you see. At this stage, right choosing seems automatic, right? We're automatically in acceptance, automatically in love, automatically in joy, because the mind itself has changed. The way we perceive is different. Holy Spirit continues, through all of this, it is important to keep your true desire firmly in mind at all times. All choices are made based on desire. To be more specific, choices are made based on active desire. If true desire is forgotten for a time and another desire seems foremost in your mind, you will inadvertently make choices based on that desire. As you make choices based on true desire in some cases, and choices based on other desires in other cases, the world that you see will seem inconsistent. This is feedback upon your choices and evidence that you must hold tightly to your true desire always. So, some other desires that could get in the way, right? One desire could be wanting to be liked. Wanting to be liked is not the same as the desire to know thyself. Wanting to make money. Oh yes, wanting to be right, Donna has written. No. Wanting to be looked up to. Wanting to be respected. You know, if we want any of these things, wanting to be loved, there's another one. If we want any of these things, then we make choices based on them. So if I want to be liked, for example, I might step into what we often call people-pleasing. Doing things for you to try and get you to like me. And of course, that's coming from a fear underneath. And the way I see the world is going to reflect that fear. I'm definitely going to notice the ones who don't like me. And I'm going to be bothered by that. Nick likes me. That's good. I got one. Cliff, Nick, I always get creator's gift. Yeah, he likes me. So what Holy Spirit is saying here is that the world is showing us the choices we're making. So if I'm finding I'm upset because, oh, Barb likes me too, but if I'm finding upset because somebody here doesn't like me, you know, if the next person that types says, I don't like you, and I find I'm upset because of that, it really means that I have forgotten to focus on what I truly want. I've forgotten to hold my true desire in the front of my mind. I became distracted by another goal. If I had kept true desire in the front of my mind, and I had been very consistently choosing to let go of wrong-minded thoughts and you choose only right-minded thoughts, and someone said they did not like me, I would hear that differently. The Course says I would hear it as a call for love. I may be guided in the moment to ask that person, well, what's up? What's wrong? I may be guided to do nothing with it. But it won't upset me. I'll be in acceptance of it. I'll see it with the right mind. So if I'm seeing things in the world, hearing things in the world with the wrong mind, it really means that I have been choosing with the wrong mind. So that's feedback to me. That's feedback that says, wait a minute, I have not been making right-minded choices consistently. Barb is asking, is Creator's gift Cliff? I thought it was, yeah. I thought that was his other name, but I could be wrong. But I think it's him. I mean, doesn't it sound like something Cliff would say? I like you, Regina. Yeah, yeah, it's him. That sounds like Cliff, too. Okay, so again, Holy Spirit says, through all of this, it is important to keep your true desire firmly in mind at all times. One purpose, right? One purpose. All choices are made based on desire. To be more specific, choices are made based on active desire. If true desire is forgotten for a time and another desire seems foremost in your mind, you will inadvertently make choices based on that desire. As you make choices based on true desire in some cases and choices based on other desires in other cases, the world that you see will seem inconsistent. That is feedback upon your choices and evidence that you must hold tightly to your true desire always. So if anything in the world is upsetting me, if anything in the world is upsetting me, it means I'm still making wrong-minded choices. So anything in the world upsetting me simply means I need to become more vigilant for the kingdom. I need to watch my mind more carefully. When I'm consistently making right-minded choices, I will see the world through the right mind. Holy Spirit says, know that choices do not always seem conscious. That is, you do not always know when you are making a choice or what it is that you are choosing. It is easier to monitor your desire than your choices. So pay close attention to the desire in your mind. Trust that choices are made based upon desire. That's interesting. And true. You know, I may do something to try and get you to like me without even seeing it. But the reason I'm doing something to try and get you to like me is because people liking me is important to me. It's a purpose. If I get very clear on only one goal, only one purpose, then I will make my choices from there. Holy Spirit said it's a lot easier to watch our desire than it is to watch each and every choice, because we make choices so much all of the time. There's actually fewer desires than choices, so it's easier to watch the desires. So I want to make sure that I am giving attention to my desire to awaken or my desire to know thyself, so that that desire becomes not only foremost in my mind, but my only desire. When that is my only desire, I make all of my choices from there automatically. And it really doesn't matter if I made a choice and didn't happen to see it, because the choice was still made based on the desire that I was holding. So a right-minded choice was made. Focus on our desire. This is something that NTI teaches over and over and over again. It asks us to focus on it, let it grow, nurse it. And this explains why. Because we're making choices based on our desire, and the world we see and experience comes from the choices we're making. Know that choices do not always seem conscious. That is, you do not always know when you are making a choice or what it is that you are choosing. It is easier to monitor your desire than your choices. So pay close attention to the desire in your mind. Trust that choices are made based upon desire. If you trust that choices are made based upon desire, and you monitor your desire closely, you can be sure that you are always choosing truly, even if you are not aware of your choices. It is all about desire, which some people may call intent. What is it that I truly want now? Continually answer this question from the heart, and you lead yourself truly. So again, he's asking us to ask all day long, what is it that I want? Awakening. What is it that I want? Know thyself. You know, just keep asking that and keep answering that. So that is a primary focus for you. And if that is a primary focus for you, then you will naturally make your choices from there, because we always make our choices from desire. So that's pretty simple, don't you think? Teddy says, that is actually why Jesus asks, would you rather be right or happy? Because everyone really wants to be happy. That is like saying you can choose based on your desire. Everyone desires to be happy and would desire to be happy all the time. Hence, eternal happiness becomes a true desire. Perfect. Perfect. If we really wanted to be happy, if we really made that our foremost desire, then we would let so many things go, right? We would let so many things go, because not to let them go is to enter into conflict, and that is not to be happy. Okay, what I will do once again is let go of the mic and see if anybody wants to share anything. Okay, I have about 5 minutes left, but I don't even feel like looking at what the next message is. I feel like stopping. Now it's 4 minutes. I feel like stopping. So what I've done is I've just grabbed a Resta CD. We haven't listened to Resta for a while. This is Music of Christ, Volume 9. This one doesn't have on it the songs, so I don't know what song I'm going to play. I'm going to go to song number 3, and we're going to play it, whatever it is. I just have no idea what song number 3 is. Hold on 1 second. I'm waiting for the CD player to... There it goes. It recognizes. So let's just see what song number 3 is, and we'll listen to this. So here we go. Resta Burnham.
Indwelling Christ, presence of joy in the mind. Indwelling Christ, light of its holy shines. The altar within, reverence as Father and Sons. Eternal union as one may abide. Presence of joy in the mind. Indwelling Christ, presence of peace in the heart. Eternal child, forever safe in God's arms. Angels of love, tenderly lead us to Him. Gifts of devotion we bring to the Christ. Presence of peace in the heart. Indwelling Christ, presence of truth in the soul. His sweet gift of life redeems us and makes us whole. Joining in Him, at last we see heaven's light. Always it's waiting inside in the Christ, presence of truth in the soul. Indwelling Christ, presence of joy, presence of peace, presence of truth.
Okay, that was a nice song just to go into stillness with, just to be still. Okay, Cliff has his hand up, so Cliff, I'm turning the mic over to you.
You only have 1 minute, Regina. Probably less than that. Well, I went to the, thanks. That's all I get is 20 seconds. I went to this local cafe to do my homework, brought my laptop with me, and I was thinking there's like this news channel, all-time news, local news channel in the background. It's just like a little mumble. You couldn't really make it out, which is a good thing. And I saw this woman come in and sit down, like, right by it and just, like, stare at it like it was God. And I thought, my first thought was, like, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? It's like, it's turn that damn crap off. And then I thought, well, that sounds a lot like ego. It's like, what's the real message here? So it was a judgment on my part. And I have the judgment about news anyways. And it's like, what do I want to choose instead? It's like, what's the real truth? It's like, she just wants love, just to cry for love. And it's no different than me eating chocolate. It's like, it's a distraction for her, and chocolate can be a distraction for me. So it's no different. Thank you.
Thank you, Cliff, for choosing to see your sister as the same as you. Teddy wants mangoes. Jasmine likes mangoes, too. Yeah. All right, you guys. So I guess I'm back Wednesday morning. Have fun with Lisa Trevino. I'm going to go eat. I'm hungry. Bye.